The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And then I got that invitation in the mail for a Zoom. Apparently, whatever the hell that is. But an invitation to meet my great nephew and my great niece. Anything good that would ever happen to me, it just seemed impossible. But here I am. I made it. You two. You two are my moon. Call me Uncle Nicky, okay? No stupid nicknames.
Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to the show This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. And welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I have not cried in a This Is Us episode that much in a long time.
This is some old school This Is Us right now.
This is us at its very best. I mean, this is what we're talking about. I mean,
where's the Charmin?
So much Charmin. I think we're going to have to like up our Amazon order just because we went
Subscribe
through an inordinate amount of Charmin that last night, man. What? Mm-hmm. An episode. It's like ridiculous. Oh, you know what? Rookie mistake.
So for those of you who are new to us at This Is Us 2, welcome, welcome. We like to have a little story time because, of course, the show is called This Is Us, and a lot of the reasons why people love to connect with this show is because you can see yourself in various characters at various moments. You can connect probably somewhere within each episode.
Absolutely.
So, Blake, what's your story?
My story, as much as I want it to be about Nikki and the whole experience, actually isn't. It's actually about Jack. And oddly enough, everything with Nikki, I was crying at the end. I was sobbing. The whole you're my moon thing. Just forget about it, right?
Forget about it.
But I think I started crying most when Jack was talking to his buddy, Lieutenant mm-hmm. Sheehan. And he was saying, listen, I love this girl. I'm thinking about marrying her, but I've told her all these things and they're not true. And it's just so long now, I don't even know what to do. And what do I do? And Lieutenant Sheehan says to him, just, you know what? All that stuff, all these guys that are around us, you know, they're here, but they're not. Because they're in the past and they can't get away from it. Do yourself a favor and just move forward. And because that girl is your future. And as soon as that conversation started, I just started sobbing because, as most of you know, and as we've been talking about a lot in this particular season of This Is Us Too, we've been talking about family and the definition of family and what that means and how to move forward as a family. And for me, it just calcified my emotions, mm-hmm. in one little freaking sentence. Everything that was before is your past, and that girl is your future. Aww. And the love of my life, I get a chance to be with her every single day, and I get a chance to sit across from her at this little desk in these stupid podcasts and talk with her.
They're not stupid, but
all I could think of is how upset I've been and sad that I've been that, you know, like my dad doesn't talk to me anymore, which is, and I hate bringing it up because I feel like I'm a broken record and I'm sure people are sick of hearing it. But I feel like my whole past has been, like erased almost, struggling with that feeling and struggling with my life before, and accepting it and moving forward. And it's something that I've always known. My bride is my future, mm-hmm. and she always has been my future. And it didn't necessarily give me permission to let go of it all, but it certainly helped make it more real. And so I sit here with my future, and I'm...
And she's wearing a Gryffindor sweatshirt. Oh, he's getting emotional for those of you listening. You're so sweet, Blake.
This is like the second time I've ever gotten emotional on a podcast like this.
Little did you know it would happen for a show on NBC.
I know. So yeah, that's that. You ready to get into the show?
Yes. At least I didn't say hello to you.
No. That was a bell moment, if there's ever been one. After all this was said and done, this beautiful episode.
Yep.
I turn around and I say to Mary.
At the end of the show, Blake's like sobbing. I'm like emotional. He's feeling I'm like tired. All of his love for me.
I didn't sleep the previous night, and I'm an emotional fracking wreck. I turn over to Mary and I say, "Mary, I love you." And she wasn't listening.
I was goes, in the zone.
And before I even finished the word "you," she goes, "Hi." It was, you know what it was, Mary?
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Yep. Hi. Like, he just was looking at me and I was like, "Hi." Oh, well.
It was the most ridiculous moment. That was one of those things I'll never let go. Okay. All right, just wanted to remind you guys that you can go to maryandblake.com. Check us out at all the social media, Mary and Blake, whether it's Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook. All the podcasts.
We do want to make sure you go into our Facebook group. We actually, if you're on Facebook, we have a exclusive community. You just search Mary and Blake. You'll find us. It's the only group named like Mary and Blake, and you'll see This Is Us Too and all this kind of stuff. But it's where we geek out about all these shows that we podcast about. So come on over, make sure you request to join. We'd love to have you.
And if you're a big fan of the new Marvel television shows on Disney Plus, big plug for that. Check me out. We're doing Marvel essays on Marvel television for the MCU Diaries, available all on all of your favorite podcatchers of choice. So that is that. Marvin, you ready?
Of course I am.
Let's do it, and hopefully I won't cry anymore. I can't promise.
I started to cry in that little clip.
Just
so
get
we're
some
okay.
shaman ready. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Shake it out.
You're trying not to cry and you're holding it in and like it hurts. My stomach hurts right now and my throat hurts.
You can let it out. It's all good.
No, tell me
some of the details about this episode. That will help when you get in the, get your gears moving.
Get in the flow. The title for this one is One Small Step, which is a reference to the fact that they were all watching Neil Armstrong and Everybody Get On to the Moon, July 20th, 1969. That is when it happened. And Neil Armstrong says, one small step, one giant leap for mankind. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Excellent stuff. And it that applies in so many different ways, not only to what happens in the moon of it all in this episode, but mm-hmm. also how this relates to Nikki and the small steps that he has to take and this small step of going. Well, I mean, it technically... Is it a small step to get on a plane and go and see your great niece and your great in your
for some it may be great, small
nephew? Is it small? Maybe it's small, but it is big. But mm-hmm. in context, what this provides for Nikki is a much larger life, a fulfillment of promise, and fulfills his world. And that is the giant leap. So getting on a plane, yes, in comparison to that giant leap. Yes, a small step. The director was Yasu Tanida. Now, if you've listened to This Is Us 2 for the past, 2 or 3 years, you should know who Yasu Tanida is. But if you don't, that is okay. Because Yasu Tanida was the director of this episode. He is the longtime cinematographer or the director of photography for This Is Us. And I got to tell you, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the lighting yes. in this episode was gorgeous.
Phenomenal.
It was gorgeous. And we'll get into that later on in the episode. And the writer was Laura Kinnear. Laura Kinnear actually was a staff writer for This Is Us mm-hmm. for many a season. She has recently graduated up to story editor for season 4. Now, you've obviously heard us talk about all the different roles on the writing staffs.
But if you can give like a quick synopsis, somebody
sure.
is new.
Sure. A staff writer is just somebody when you are brought in. And there's a certain rung or there's a certain amount of ladders that you have to go on to when you're in the writing staff of a television show. Mm-hmm. You start off as a PA and then you become a staff writer and then you become a story editor and then you become an executive story editor. And these are just the rungs that you have to move up. So when you're writing as a staff writer, you're a part of just a group of people who were brought in to help assist the actual writers. You're pitching ideas when actually spoken to. You're making sure that the Bible of the show, if you will, in quotes, is being followed. Mm-hmm. That everything is falling into the right place, and you're there to help assist. As a story editor, you're there to make sure that the scripts are taken care of, and you're pitching ideas, and you actually have a specific credit as a story editor and as an executive story editor. And then once you get to that point, then you move on to being a credited writer, that you're part of you're a much larger part of the staff. So that is that. And Laura Kinnear has actually written a few episodes of This Is Us so far, even as when she was a staff writer. She has some written by credits, starting with Vegas Baby, The Big Day, and The Last 7 Weeks, One Hell of a Week, Part 3, and obviously this one, One Small Step. The Big Day was one of my favorite episodes of This Is Us.
Agreed.
So I'm not saying that who's my favorite writer? Oh my goodness. Kay. Thank you.
Kay O'Hagan.
I'm not saying Kay O'Hagan has to worry. I'm not saying she's got to worry.
But there'd be some competition.
There's some competition
joint.
Happening
okay.
with Laura Kinnear. She ain't going to get the Whitney treatment quite yet. But she's on the way.
Okay.
She's on the way.
Nice.
So that is that. Marvin, your Lemonade rating, what do you got?
5+.
Really?
Why not?
I
will be surprised if yours is not a 5+.
This is
by the amount that you cried.
This is Memphis level for you?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy.
Good.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, for me, though...
Listen, the amount that you cried last night, this best be a 5+. It is. It is.
Listen, in the document, I have 5. Okay, I have a 5.
Which everyone who knows you means that is a 5+, because you never just give 5s. But now that you're thinking about it and you're digesting it, friends who are watching live, let us know your ratings.
Yeah, fine.
Don't say fine. Don't act like I bullied you into it.
Listen. All I'm going to say is that this right here, Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it 2. Because we got ourselves a horse. In fact, I will say the best episode of this season and the best episode in a while.
Agreed.
The best episode of
Agreed.
While.
Okay, I'm trying to give you a high five.
I'm not going to leave you hanging.
Thank you.
All right. You're GBG. You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
Okay. So generally when we do GBGs and it's a 5+, it's a good, great, best.
Yes.
But I do want to say a bad because of how something made me feel.
Whoa, whoa, time out.
No. Oh, fine. It's a best for how it made me feel.
Okay,
then.
Fine. Fair. Fair. Okay? Fair. You gotta, because there's a hard and fast rule. 5+, you get GGB. That's it.
So, okay, then you go first.
No, it's fine.
You're just mixing at me everything up for me. Fine, you go first.
All right, fine. The good for me is how, using Jack and Nikki to contrast each other in this episode. Jack is a person who is confident for the most part and determined and go, and they even say it in this episode, like, you have this determined energy. Yo, are you a Cancer? You know? And by the way, that line, no, I'm fine. Oh man. I love this because it's not only it's not just a good contrast. It's not like Harry Potter, by the way. We'll play this.
You're a wizard, Harry.
It's not like when they contrast Professor Lupin against Professor Snape. It's not like Snape bad, Lupin good. It's using this as a way to comment on both people. Nicky, in his early years, is young and hopeful, and he makes toys, and these are all little characteristics that make him up. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's so scared, and he's so, and he kind of reminds me of Marty McFly, where he's like, I can't handle that kind of rejection.
Okay, yeah.
And that's how I'm going to look at Nikki, as like Marty McFly from a little bit.
I can dig it.
And Jack is the kind of person that's like strong and determined and whatever. But instead of, while Nikki is scared, Jack takes those emotions and he pushes them away. And he doesn't acknowledge them and doesn't accept them. And using this as a contrast to the both of them and how Jack does help Nikki and Nikki does listen to Jack in certain ways, watching them blossom together and then fall apart at the same time.
So heartbreaking.
Is excellent. All right, so that was my good. The great is the steak picture. That is one of those things. That is one of those things that is 100% real.
Yes.
Where when Sally was saying, you're going to look at this picture and you're going to remember this steak and you're going to say, I remember exactly what that was. Yep. I remember exactly what we were doing. For example, anytime I hear Van Morrison, I think of the Cape. I think of the Cape. Because when I was a senior in high school, freshman in college, I rented a Cape house with all my idiot high school friends. And we listened to Van Morrison the entire week. So anytime I hear Van Morrison, I think of grilling at the Cape.
You're so fancy.
Drinking Mike's Hot Lemonades. and the best, since this is technically a 5+, the best for me is Michael Angarano and Griffin Dunn. Both of them are...
Both Nickies. Young Nicky and old Nicky.
Are just... They're spectacular. They are two separate people making one character, and not only is it a uniform character, the tics and the way that they speak.
You sit there and you're like, wait, did they put makeup on somebody? Like, is this a Mandy Moore kind of thing where literally it is the same actor in both ages, because they do such a great job?
Right, they mirror each other in such great ways, but also they, at the same time, they're able to represent different forms of Nikki, whether it is Nikki pre-war, the young, hopeful, whatever, Nikki right after the war, sitting in his trailer, like, you know, drunk and a mess and you know, lost all hope, lost all will, and then old man Nikki, who it has to combine both of those by the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. And following it up with that incredible monologue by Griffin Dunne, it is a cohesive, beautiful character, and I'm so excited about these two forming Nikki as one character. So that is my best.
Beautiful.
My GGB. Beautiful. All right, Marvin, your GGB.
My good is the COVID shot. The reaction.
Another time? Two times?
And then you have to like wait. You know, it's just, I just love it because it goes to show you like how much Nikki has been removed through all of this. And I thought it was just a lovely way, you know, some people love and other people don't love how This Is Us has intertwined the pandemic into the storyline. And this, I think, was just a perfect way. There's another one? Like, yeah. Just perfect. Just so perfect. My great, which was my bad, was how I felt when the snow globes broke.
Oh, man.
Brutal. I feel like everyone watching the show let out an audible, like the air was knocked out of all of us. Oh. We got to see the time and precision that he took to make these snow globes. One of them was like moon related, like astronaut related. And just breaks you.
Just brutal.
He's like, I need to show up with gifts for them. I can't not do this.
And all the time he took to have your girl Cassidy wrap it all up and everything. Yep. When that lady started tearing apart that wrapping paper, I wanted to crumble.
No.
And
then my great is just this is us. This right here, this episode is what I'm talking about. This is why we are podcasting about this show. This is why it's like a therapy session, because you get out all the feels and you watch an episode like this. You are happy, you are sad, you are frustrated. Mm-hmm. I mean, you leave it feeling like you went through the washing machine, but in a good way, mm-hmm. you know, emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is my best.
That's your best. So you would get your G and you get in your G and your B.
I fit them all in, man.
All right, you did a good job. Are you ready for the big three feedback?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's go.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
Now, we have a couple of voicemails that we want to get to, but let's read the first one that we got from...
Donna?
From Facebook for Donna.
Okay. Donna gave it 5 lemonades and a horse because it was just everything.
Hold on, Donna. I got this one for you. Where is it? There it is.
They open with America singing, "This is for all the lonely people." I was toast. Nikki just brings me to tears. Those snow globes, my heart shattered with them. 60s innocent pre-Vietnam Nikki in love, not letting Jack know he was at the reunion. Ugh. 50 years of self-inflicted solitude, sleeping in the nursery, the photo. Ugh. And Donna included 2 crying emojis, but like a single tear one where it's just like, oh, like a Sam Heughan beautiful tear, you know? And then she just ended it by saying, toast.
Just toast. Oh, by the way, we got a...
Tadafarsasana.
There you go for Sam Heughan.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
All right, you ready to get to the voicemails?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it.
It's Heather from Ohio.
Hi, Heather.
Just saying hey.
Hey.
And I would say for This Is Us tonight, I will give it 4 lemonades out of 5. My good is Nikki with... Cassidy and just, you know, asking her, can you help me with Amazon.com? Awesome. My bad, the who are they's? You know, Nikki's love interest, like, is she coming back or is there significance behind Airplane Lady? You know, hashtag who are they? My great, I would probably go with Nikki's speech to the twins about the moon. It was just so poetic and just beautiful. Hot take. I will say Nikki's love interest. I feel if they go to the dog park, maybe they'll be reunited. So anywho, that's what I got.
Nice job, Heather. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you. All right, let's see. Hashtag who are they, though, Marvin? What do you think about that?
About the lady on the plane?
Yeah, that's a nobody, right?
That's a nobody. That's a Mary.
Were you happy to see Cassidy?
That's like a, oh, hi.
I'm going to talk to you.
We're stuck in a plane together.
You're my best friend. You happy to see Cassidy?
In this sense, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I am.
All right, good. Here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Emily, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Emily.
First of all, I love your podcast so much.
Thank you
for doing what you're doing, really.
Thank you.
I'm going to give this episode of This Is Us 4.3 lemonades. A lot of stuff I liked, some stuff I didn't like as much.
Okay.
But I wanted to get your opinion on one thing, and it's a thing that This Is Us sometimes does, where they take a really uncomfortable situation, one where you know that what ends up happening is probably not the best for the characters. In this case, it was Nikki wanting to go back and visit Jack, but deciding not to in the end. And they take that moment and they stretch it out. They make you sit in it and feel that discomfort. And I personally really do not like that. It's not fun to watch. It's not enjoyable. But I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. If you think it was a good storytelling technique, or if you think that's just being uncomfortable for the sake of being uncomfortable. And I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that. Thank you so much.
Blake, take it away.
I will take that one. I understand why some people don't like that. For me, I like it because it is tension. I want tension. In any form, tension is drama, especially if you know the relationship that that they're trying to, I'll say the word exploit, but that's not the right word. It's emphasize. We'll put that. Tension is important. If you don't have tension, then there's no drama. And if there's no drama, what the hell are we doing watching? We all know, and it works because we know that we have the dramatic irony that there is no relationship between the two. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of how long or what prevents Nikki from doing it. And is it a long process? Yes, but it lives up right to its theme of the episode. Nikki simply, he wants to do it. He gets right up to that moment and he just can't. And he can't. Why? Because he's Marty McFly. He can't take the rejection. And having that moment is, I think it's important, and I like that moment. So that is that. All right, ready for the next one?
I sure am.
All right.
Hey, Mary and Blake. It's Gloria from Methuen.
Hi, Gloria. Methuen.
I was just wondering what you guys think Kevin ever did in this case. Do you think he looked for Sally, for Nick? I'm really hoping, because where is this chick? Oh my God, she seems so cool.
Yes.
And they would like still fit in with each other. And we saw a wedding ring in the future on Nikki's hand. So
maybe he
is back with Sally. Yes. What do you guys think?
Oh,
I'm down, man. For Sally. I am down for Sally to be back. They can do a little Mandy Moore, bippity boppity boo, you're 50 years older. Magic on her with some makeup.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. By the way, Gloria, if I had the sound, I would play it right now. I don't have it right now.
What?
It would be your cousin from Boston, because Gloria, oh, my God. That a girl.
Like, Blake loves to hear local accents.
Oh, you know, it's just, you know, they'd be perfect for each other. You know, like, where this girl, like, oh, and she's from Methuen, North Shore. Like, this is good stuff. Gloria, you call back anytime that you want. And next time you call, I'm going to have the your cousin from Boston sound just for you. All right. So that is that. Is she coming back? We'll see.
I think so.
I got a hot take.
Okay.
I got a hot take about that. So that is that. Where do you want to begin with this episode, Marvin? I mean, we're already 28 minutes in, but like, where do you want to begin? Like, what stands out to you most?
I mean, it's funny because like, there's so much in this episode and yet there's not a lot to have to deep dive, pick apart. You know, it's events. It's very in your face. You can see, it helps you understand Nikki a bit more, but we already know a lot of these things with Nikki. So it's interesting to see the pre-Vietnam War, the post-Vietnam War Nikki, and then, you know, our Grandpa Nikki kind of versions, just
yes.
To see them in these different interactions. Once again, This Is Us does such a beautiful job harmonizing these storylines together.
Oh, look at you.
Oh.
Look at you with your SAT words.
I mean, you know.
Longest running joke of Mary and Blake media history.
I also am a musician, so I'm like, that's how my brain thinks. But, you know, it's just to be able to see how it wasn't like a three-part story with like young, middle, old. They were able to really kind of string these storylines beautifully together in a way that really I haven't been able to see that often aside from This Is Us. They just do such an extraordinary job with this. Where would you like to start, Blake?
Well, I think theme, you know, I think theme is really important. And the question that we ask is, how do we heal?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do we heal? And this entire season so far, I think, has been about healing. I think this is, you know, when you're considering how the arc of the entire This Is Us run has been going, you know, this is the point where everything seems to be on the rise. We're in a better place, like on the whole, like,
yeah,
you know, we're in a better place. Things are looking up. Eventually, usually what happens at this point, generally at the end, you know, when everything seems to be on the up and up, something bad will happen.
Okay.
And, you know, in a story, like, think of like Helm's Deep, right? The Battle of Helm's Deep. That's the perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Helm's Deep goes, you know, everything starts off well, things are looking bad, then everything looks really hopeless, and then Gandalf comes down, and there he is. He comes down the hill, okay. And, you know, then Helm's Deep is won. Right now, everything's looking really great. Soon, I think by the end of the season.
What do you think's going to go wrong?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
I hope nothing goes wrong. We need some happiness.
Yes.
I just want and we're getting to be
it.
Happy.
We're getting it right now.
Everyone to get their shots, and then they have a big family reunion.
There's another one? No, I think this whole season has been
Rebecca
about...
Rebecca needs to come and meet the babies.
This whole season's been about healing, and you see that with especially Nikki in this particular episode. I mean, he's able to finally make the trip to California, right? But Randall is healing with his birth mother and even his relationship with Kevin. Mm-hmm. We see Kate healing, letting go of her stuff with Mark. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening here. And this episode, again, as it calcified my feelings about my bride and what it means to see my future, this episode calcifies, I think, what this season is about so far. And that theme is, how do we heal? And what does that do? How does that affect Nikki, knowing that he can't necessarily heal with his brother? His brother is dead. And he didn't take that opportunity to do it. But it may not be a, you know, a direct healing, but the fact that he is in California and he's there with his, as he says, his brother's grandkids,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is not a direct line, but at least an adjacent line of healing for him and his relationship with his brother.
Then you get Cassidy, of course, being like, you got this, man. Of course he'd be proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I really like that. And you know what? I got to tell you, too, and I got to get your thoughts on this. Sally. How are we feeling about Sally?
Love Sally.
I am in.
Sign us up for the van.
Yep.
For moon gazing, for photographing, to take me to Woodstock, take me to California. Can I dance around with you? I just don't want to wash dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I am down for Sally.
Mary's out on washing dogs.
Yeah.
I agree. It smells. They're a mess. I get stuff all over you. Forget about it. No way. Sally technically is not hashtag who are they.
Agreed.
Because we've already heard about her in a previous episode. It is in the episode from season 4, Flip a Coin.
I had no idea.
That's why you got me,
Mom. I know.
Because I'm a nerd.
Nerd!
This is actually when Nikki was telling Kevin and Cassidy about the girl he bought his trailer for in Flip a Coin.
Okay.
And he goes, and finally he comes back after the war, and he goes on this, and he's talking to them about going on this, how they talked about going on a cross-country trip. And when he went to go find her and say, hey, I bought this trailer, we're going to go cross-country finally, she wasn't there. And he just lived in the trailer.
Oh.
And imagine that. Like, think of that. Think of that. I mean, you're thinking of living in that misery. What a metaphor for that misery and that letdown and that failure. And his fear of rejection forces him to live in the very physical object that manifests that rejection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's only natural for him to fall apart as a character, to fall apart as a person. Yeah.
Until he gets his upgrade of super trailer. Thank you, Kevin.
Dude, that trailer is no joke. There's like ambient lighting and stuff and, you know, stainless steel appliance. I wouldn't be surprised if it had like radiant heating in the floors.
Of course.
God, I want radiant heating so bad in my house. Oh, I want it in the worst way. Warm floors all the time.
Okay.
All the time. It doesn't matter. You go in the bathroom, warm floor. You go on your bed, warm floor.
Or socks or slippers.
No. No, I want to walk around barefoot and be happy and warm at the same time. Yeah, I loved this episode.
You did.
You know,
as did most people.
You know, one of our callers asked about the scene and stretching out the tension of that scene, if that was something that was good or whether or not, you know, it's something that is a tool that This Is Us uses to manipulate its audience. And it can be very manipulative. But Mary, your thoughts on that scene and watching Nikki waiting in the parking lot and he's slamming the driver's wheel and the whole thing. I want to get your opinions on that scene and if you think it is manipulative in a good or bad way.
I didn't find it manipulative. Like you said, we already know the ending. We already know that they didn't get to get back together and reconnect and have this brotherly love. We know the ending, but you need to sit with this awkwardness. You know, and I thought a lot about you, Blake, having this distressed relationship with your father that is going nowhere. I mean, we have been very candid with you, our audience. I mean, here we are in the middle of a pandemic. There's been COVID scares left and right. There's been COVID within our families. And, you know, there's just no communication. We live 20 minutes away and there's just nothing. And so as I'm watching this episode, it's hard. And those of you who have strained family relationships, it sucks. There is nothing like it. There is such a deep pain, as this is someone who you are connected with because of, you know, through your whole life, through blood, all these different things. And yet, it's two magnets. You just can't get them to get together. And that's what it felt like. It felt like when you're a kid and you're playing with magnets for the first time and you are trying so hard to get the two positive ends, the two negative ends to do it. And you're sitting there in disbelief, like, maybe I can. Maybe if I just like squish them really hard, I can make it work. You know, you're not going to be able to get the magnets together. And that's what it was like watching this part of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, we needed to sit there. And I was thankful for it because this episode made me feel things so strongly. As I said, it was like this guttural, you know, gut punch when he dropped the snow globes. We're all crying when he's telling the babies they're his moon. We're all laughing, you know, when he gets his shot. And we're all with Nikki in this really tense moment where we know the outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when you see a car accident in slow motion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think there are so many great moments of buildup and so many great moments of payoff. Mm-hmm. The first bit of payoff that you have to talk about is the luggage, the blue luggage.
That Jack buys him
to go on this trip with Sally, to go to California, go to Woodstock, do the whole thing. And Nikki never uses it until he actually finally does go to California. And it's all beat up just like him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all duct taped together just like him. And he finally makes that trip. And those words said by your girl Cassidy saying, like, you've hated yourself for so long, but now you've finally made it. Why would you come back? Why would you take away from that? You finally made it to California. You did it.
Yes.
And using that piece of luggage is a perfect visual representation of his entire journey. Mm-hmm. The writing in this episode is spectacular.
How interesting, too, just the fact that Nikki could have gone across country to California with a girl.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what Jack does with Rebecca.
And he takes advantage of that immediately. Again, calling back to that, using that as a reference point for you. Because when he says it, you know, you have the dramatic irony that it is true. Jack does do it. Granted, he doesn't tell her the full truth the entire time about his life. But still, he does it because that girl is his future. And mm-hmm. you see, and again, another payoff moment is why in God's name would Jack write his brother off that way? Like, you can see him in this episode struggling with that truth. You see him struggling with the notion of, I've lied to this woman. Mm-hmm. Should I just come clean? And now you
understand. Or could that break everything?
Right. Yeah. And now you understand why he continued on with that. Because all he wanted was future. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to move past his dad and that relationship and the war and all of the ugliness. And he put his love into Rebecca.
Yep.
So is it okay that he did that? I mean, I think that's debatable. But do I understand it? Yes, I do. It's another emotional payoff here. And as good as the writing was in this episode, oh my goodness, the direction in this mm-hmm. episode was even better.
You feel all the feels, man.
Sticking with all the characters through these moments and letting Michael Angarano and Griffin Dunn do their thing when they're supposed to do it. And the bar scene between the lieutenant and Jack, the lighting, the way that it represents, it's also, it echoes the same kind of conversation that Jack had with young Kevin at the bar when they were eating the steak.
Yes.
It's the same exact lighting. So
very
it's,
cool.
You know, it was about Kevin's future. You're mm-hmm. going to be better than me. You're the best of me. That's future. This is echoing that conversation. The lighting, the conversation itself, it echoes I'm not sure what kind of word I'm looking for here.
I don't know. I can't read your brain.
The same DNA. It has the same DNA.
All right.
That's what I'm looking for. But then again, we also have the same exact light. Well, not the same exact lighting. I'm sorry. The exceptional lighting when Jack walks out of the bar and there's Nikki. He gets out of
the bar. Yeah,
your cousin from Boston. He gets out of the bar and there's Nikki getting out of the truck, ready to go talk to him. And it's dark. And then all of a sudden, as they both come up, the light shines up. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like Nikki is a deer in the headlights and he gets stuck.
Yeah.
And he shies away from that light. Mm-hmm. And it's this moment that could enlighten both of them. But then as soon as he makes his decision to not do it, the light goes away.
So rough. So rough.
Oh my goodness. I mean, what a way. What an episode. What direction? What writing? All of it in every sense of the word is just phenomenal.
So I had a lot of fun with older Nikki.
In
older
what way?
Nikki gave me all my laughs. He just between the shot,
The zoom.
Oh my god, the fact that he got this invitation, didn't know what Zoom was, didn't know what was going on, and actually just went.
Yeah, and just did it.
Here we go. But I'm not going to tell them just in case, you know, I do fall through and I change my mind. So I'm just going to show up for the baptism and meet these kids,
yep.
Except it's on Zoom.
And I love how he talks to Cassidy and says, I need you to tell me in detail how to use Amazon.com.
Gets all those boxes. I mean, boxes and boxes and boxes. It's pretty much like everybody, you know, shopping on Amazon at those certain times of your life.
Yeah.
Where is the snoo?
Good point.
The snooze?
Yeah. You're supposed to have multiple snooze. And by the way, those kids, most calm babies ever. Just sitting there.
And sitting here's there looking Nikki up. Being like, here are my favorite John Grisham books that I bought you. Amazing. Hysterical. Once again, laughed again. Like older Nikki, I laughed almost the entire time. He's having this monologue, of course, that they're his moon, the clip that you show. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Cassidy. I mean, Kevin and Madison.
Ooh, girl.
Yikes.
Dare I play this?
Ooh, yikes.
Shame.
Kevin and Madison have a baby monitor, most likely.
Right.
And like, I know for me, if I heard like even the slightest little, you know, squeak from a baby, I'd be waking up. Mm-hmm. So they are either so used to their kids being the calmest kids ever that they just sleep through everything.
They're there.
Or they don't have a baby monitor. Or they were listening there to Uncle Nikki being like,
Uncle Nickelback?
Like, have you, oh, you're hearing this?
Yeah.
This is deep.
My sense of that is that Nikki was surprised that, I'm sorry, Nikki.
Kevin
was surprised Nikki was in the room.
He was hearing on the monitor being like, I'm just going to act like I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Because you don't want to know why? It would have been totally This Is Us to show that moment.
So are we supposed to think that they don't have a flipping baby monitor?
Well, maybe they were asleep. It seemed like it was late at night.
No, it doesn't matter. You got that baby monitor up loud and
That's true. That's true. Veronica here says, you guys, it's This Is Us. Suspend the disbelief. I would kind of agree with Veronica in this one. I mean,
where are the snooze?
At this point, you know what I'm going to say, right? You know what I'm going to say. Say it with me now. Come on now.
Stats are for nerds.
Stats are for nerds. Just go with it. Just allow it.
I mean, maybe they only use the snooze for nap time. Maybe they're trying to train the kids to sleep in a crib.
That's good.
And maybe they've come to the assumption, we're just going to let them cry it out. We'll see them at 6 a.m.
Would you? Yeah, it's true. They're doing the nuclear method.
I mean, the babies don't cry, so they're fine.
They don't cry at all. Never cry. Would you have rather seen Nikki? I'm sorry. I keep messing up the names. Kevin and Madison listening in on the baby monitor, or are you happy with the way that it was shot?
I would have liked to see Kevin listening on the baby monitor. I wouldn't have wanted Madison to be watching it.
Yeah, it's probably more apropos for
like
just
I would
Kevin.
Want Madison to be sleeping and Kevin to be like,
yeah, right.
Oh my gosh.
Right, right. But I think there's also,
awesome.
But there's also something really important to just staying with Nikki in that moment.
I agree. No, it's fine.
Here's what I would have accepted. I would have accepted, instead of Kevin walking in and seeing Nikki asleep, I would have accepted Kevin with the baby monitor listening in the whole time at the end. Like, instead of breaking it up, having Kevin just be like, whoa, and like look at the monitor and like put it down and then smile or start crying or whatever. And that's the end of the
episode.
Because
you know, he probably has a video monitor. It's not just an audio one. He's got the video monitor.
Oh, absolutely.
Where it's like seeing the dark, but they kind of look like lions on dark cameras with the weird eyes.
Don't show that. Don't show that.
Stuff? No. Okay. So now that I'm over it, but I just enjoyed older Nikki. I loved how he was like, don't call me anything weird. Like,
yeah,
we're not going to go for that. We're not going to do it.
Someone I know wanted to be called a weird name.
We'll move on from that conversation.
I'm talking about you.
I know. I know you're talking about me.
Oh, man, that's so funny. You got anything else you want to say about this episode, Marvin, before we let it go?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. All right, ready for some In or Out?
I am.
Want to let you know that this In or Out is brought to you by jointhenerdclan.com. Of course, that is an important part of what we do here at Mary and Blake Media. It helps keep our independent little company going. So go to jointhenerdclan.com and become an official Nerd Clan member, where you can get all great bonus episodes and premium podcasts and awesome shows like the After Dark Show, which will be happening tonight after we record this live. And you get bonus swag and free stuff and book clubs and just the community in general. It is the best. For everyone that is watching me live, give me a hashtag, go Nerd Clan, go.
And we want to thank all of our friends who already do support this.
Yes.
Truly, this is thanks to you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you, everybody who is a part of jointhenerdclan.com, and do consider becoming a member over there, because you get a bunch of great cool stuff. All right, Marvin, here we go.
Okay.
What's it going to be, McFly? Are you in or out?
Oh, how apropos that we play that sound for Marty McFly, or Marty McFly Jr. in that particular case. Isn't it great?
Yeah, except we also have watched Back to the Future a lot this past month. So,
I know,
yeah,
but
you're
just
on a Marty McFly kick.
I'm on a kick.
You are in a kick.
I'm on a Robert Zemeckis kick. All right, here's one. Back to the Future 1 or 2 is in or out on Back to the Future 2 being better than Back to the Future 1?
In.
Really?
Yes.
You know?
Because it's like This Is Us. It's like, whoa. They filmed it within this time frame. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes.
That's my sound effect.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I was always in the camp that I liked Back to the Future 2 better than Back to the Future 1. But then we rewatched them recently. We introduced our children to Back to the Future, and it was one of the best moves we've ever done. They could not get enough. It was awesome. However, a big however here, huge however, after watching the first one again and then the next one like a day later, I think I'm back to the I'm back in number one being better than two.
See, I also gotta tell you, I like Ghostbusters 2 better than 1. I think it's scarier. That creepy guy in the portrait.
Oh, Vigo.
Gave me nightmares forever. Whereas like Ghostbusters 1, meh. And then lifting me higher. Statue of Liberty, like just spraying all the pink goo. I'm all about 2.
I like 2. I know 2 is widely derided, and I get it. But I like it. Yeah. It's fun, it's campy, it's whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, in or out on Woodstock?
In.
I'm in on Woodstock.
I don't think you actually would attend Woodstock if Woodstock was now.
If I was younger, if I was in my 20s, I would do it. I wouldn't do it now.
I think you'd go and you'd be like, oh, I'll be here for a day.
Yeah, like I would go
That's
for a
what
day.
You would have done.
I would go see Jimmy play. That's what I would do.
You, unlike me, who went to Live 8 and got so tired that right. I just slept on trash.
There's no chance.
It was cozy. I would have been at Woodstock.
You sleep
the whole
on.
Time.
You totally would have been at Woodstock.
I would have been naked.
Would you have been doing the mud and all that other stuff? Yeah, yeah. Naked in the mud.
Yeah, the mud would have been like sunscreen. I ended up getting sun poisoning at Live 8 because I fell asleep on trash. Don't do that.
Oh, my God.
It was very cozy.
Oh, man. Naked in the mud. That might be the new shirt. I like that.
No, no, thank you.
Just a picture of Mary's face with naked in the mud.
No.
I think if I was young enough, if I was old enough, I would have gone to Woodstock 94. I think I would have. You know, see Blind Melon and all the whole thing. I think I would have done that.
Okay.
I don't know yet. I'm still
debating.
I still
don't believe it.
We'll see. In or out on snow globes.
I'm in.
Out.
I love snow globes. I know you are.
Out.
Our kids are luckily in on snow globes, so we're okay.
I hate snow globes. They're the worst. Like, what do? They just sit there with water.
They're mementos. They're something that you look at that is also a great mindfulness activity.
What do you mean it's a mindfulness activity? You got to shake it up first. That ain't mindful.
You watch the snow fall and settle.
It falls for like a second and a half.
I know that you're new to panic attacks.
That's true.
Next time you get one, I'll go get you a snow globe.
Go get me a snow globe. I'll feel better. Here you go, honey. Here's your snow globe. Go to the other room. in or out on Zoom?
Oh, this is tricky.
Yeah. See, that's why I put it in here. Zoom's a good thing. But it also sucks.
I'm out on Zoom.
Why are you out on Zoom?
I'm out on it all. I'm done. I'm done with Zoom. I'm just done with this. I want to see you in real life or I don't want to see you at all. I don't. I hate that like you get judged when you have to turn off your camera. I have to pee, okay? Leave me alone. Like I'm working from home. Okay, or I'm bored, or like I need to go eat something, or I need to readjust because I'm doing my Zoom in bed and I don't want to like give you a show. I'm not naked, but like I don't, you know, when you got to readjust and you're like,
yeah.
I don't want to look like the girl climbing out of the ring. No, thank you.
Naked in the mud.
I don't know. So I'm out. And I think I was like in, I'm thankful for it.
Yes.
But I'm all set. I'm done.
Like
I'm
I said,
over this.
It's good. It's
I'm,
a good
I'm done.
Zoom is good. I'm going to have a baseball draft for my fantasy baseball team.
People still don't know how to mute them freaking selves.
That's true. It's been a year. Figure
guys,
that out.
Guys. However, I will say my favorite thing was that little video of the guy who was accidentally face filtered a cat and he was meeting like a judge or whatever. Oh, it's me.
I'm not a cat. I'm not a cat.
That's been my favorite.
I'm prepared to move forward.
People have not appreciated my backgrounds when I'm on Zoom. That's another problem, right? I don't want you just to see my boring room. Mm-hmm. I want to be in Hogwarts at Christmas. Deal
yeah,
with it.
Of course. Why not?
Oh, wow, Mary, you're so fancy. This isn't real life. Okay, Blake, go.
The I'm not a cat guy. Hit like the sheer panic in his voice when he's talking to a judge.
If you haven't watched this, I'm telling you guys, this may make you laugh so much that you will feel
I haven't laughed that hard all year That was just the best.
Just Google cat zoom.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that pops up.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of... I feel the same way as you, Mary. Like I'm in.
You don't
on
even
Zoom
that much.
And that's the thing. Like I'm kind of out on Zoom because you got the whole thing of like.
Have you even Zoomed this year? I don't think you have even used Zoom.
I haven't.
Ever.
I don't think I have. I'm more of a Skype guy. I'm a Skype guy.
Who are you? MySpace Tom.
Hey, you zig, I zag. I ain't doing Zoom. You got Skype? All right, in or out on John Grisham?
I'm in.
You know what? Shockingly, I'm in on John Grisham, too.
Why is this shocking?
Because I didn't think that you would
you
think
You love
that,
his... What do you mean?
I didn't think that you would think I'd be in on John Grisham.
No, I know you are.
I'm in on John Grisham because...
You're in on his movies.
I'm in on the movies.
Yeah.
I'm in on the movies.
I don't think you've actually read a John Grisham book, though.
You are wrong. I have.
Which one?
The Firm.
When?
When I was 13, I was on a cruise with my dad.
I can believe this.
And he had all the every John Grisham book that was ever written.
On the cruise, or was it in the cruise library?
No, he had it. He had like he brought like four John Grisham books.
That's unnecessary.
It's because he read a lot on the ship.
Okay.
My mother tanned. He didn't want to go tanning, so what is he going to do? My mother was out on the tanning deck from like 5 a.m. till you know probably 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And she's sitting there baking in the sun. What's he going to do?
I don't know.
Except for go for walks, eat, and read John Grisham. So he gave me one of those books, and I read The Firm.
Okay.
So I'm in on John Grisham.
I bet you are.
John Grisham gives me happy memories of cruises. In or out on hippie vans. Those old Volkswagen vans.
My mom had one.
My dad had one.
I don't understand that.
He did.
Okay.
He told me he bought it for like $150. It didn't have a floor.
I'm in on them.
Yeah, I'm in on it too. I'm in on them too. All right, in or out on Amazon.com.
I'm totally in.
Yes. I think Bezos is rich because of us. Just us and us alone.
I'm like, I ran out of birthday cards. Ding. Here.
Bezos! I shake my fist to the air every time I get a new package from Amazon, which is a daily occurrence.
Yeah, our neighbor loves to point that out. You guys sure do get a lot of packages.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. The other neighbor. I thought you were talking about our other neighbors. I'd be like, they get just as many packages as we do.
Oh no, the one that thinks we cut down his rhododendron.
Oh, that guy can go pound.
I don't even have a saw.
He can go pound sand.
I wouldn't even know how to cut anything down.
I pick up sticks.
That's what I do for lawn maintenance.
All right, in or out on wrapping presents.
I'm mixed. I'm really mixed because I hate the idea of wrapped presents if it's just quick. If it's a wrapped present mm-hmm. that you are looking at because it's like a Christmas present and it is like a work of art and you get to look at it for a long time, I'll freaking wrap an empty box. Mm-hmm. Okay? My mom does that. That's where I learned
just
it.
A bunch of empty boxes.
You know she does.
A bunch of empty boxes.
She loves that, man. She loves it.
It looks really good.
She has just the top of the tree on a little stand, put on a table, and then puts a whole bunch of empty boxes that look gorgeous.
It looks so full.
What I hate is like wrapping a present, and then it just gets unwrapped right away.
That's
like,
what
are we doing? We're wasting stuff. So then I'm a fan of the bag. I'm a fan of the bag situation.
Too much money for the bag.
No, but see, here's the thing. If it's like a family bag... Like, I just reuse our bags. I just sit there and I cross my fingers that you're not going to crinkle the bag too much. And then you carefully take it out. And I'm like, sweet. But you still have to worry about the tissue
paper. But then you get into the awkward conversation of, can I have the bag back? Like,
that's why I'm saying with family members, my whole family, they straight up tell you. You know it.
Give the bag back.
Yeah. My mom even asks for the bows back.
I'm going to give it to you next year, too.
Yeah. My family has said that to you.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yes. So wrapping presents, I'm a bag person. But if it's for someone that like I haven't seen for a while, I would like to wrap it with a ribbon and make it look pretty.
Everyone makes it look pretty. And the thing I got a problem with is you sit there, you take all the time to do all the folds and do all the others, and it just gets torn apart. Like, what are we doing?
But not if it gets just in the table for a little bit and it gets to be pretty.
Unbelievable. All right, last one, in or out on astrology.
I'm in.
I'm in too. I'm way in. Like, of course, anytime you hear stuff about you that you think is about you, you're going to make it about you. Like, like the Pisces are supposed to be emotional and all the other stuff. Yeah, well, sure. I think I'm emotional. Am I emotional because I'm a Pisces or because I know that I'm a Pisces?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. By the way, for the record, Jack is a Virgo, not a Cancer.
All the big three are.
Good point. Yes, that's right. Because they all share the same birthday, September 20th.
Yeah.
Virgo. Just throwing that out there. Just throw it. For all you astrology nerds out there.
It's September 20th?
September 20th.
Oh.
What?
That's my mom's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and that was like our miscarried baby's birth due date.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shake my fist at you, September 20th.
Bezos!
Anyway, yes, I'm in for astrology.
All right.
For those of you who want to know, I'm a Taurus.
And I'm a Pisces. That's that. All right. No, it's August.
Oh, thank God.
It's August 20th.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's why I wasn't like, when you said September 20th.
I thought it was September.
No, it was just making me think. I'm like, that's my mom's birthday. I would have thought this entire time.
Yeah, I thought it was September. Oh, maybe I'm
Rachel's
wrong.
Calling it out. August 20th. I'm going to believe Rachel because I think if we were mentioned that it was September 20th, I would have been like, that's my mom.
Yep. Okay. You ready for some hot takes?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. All right, Marvin, you got a hot take?
No.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Oh,
okay.
I mean, does Nikki end up living with them? There's no room for him. Can they get a new trailer?
I don't know if Nikki ends up living with them.
I think California will do him good.
I think California is going to do him so good, too. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he's going to meet Sally again.
She went to California and she never left?
She never left.
What do you think Sally's done with her life?
Still on the farm. Mm. And she's been taking care of the llamas or the yaks or whatever she's taking care of.
Sally makes jewelry. Like
yeah.
She makes like, do you remember that jewelry that was made out of the clay that was really in like the 90s and early 2000s?
Yes.
And you'd make designs with it and you'd slice it. I feel like Sally still makes that.
She's totally in on that. Maybe she does some sea glass too. Maybe. I don't know. Throwing that out there.
Are they close to the ocean?
Who knows?
Is there a lot of sea glass on the California coast?
Could be. It's on the Pacific. That's a big ocean.
I'm just wondering about the current. I mean, we get a lot of sea glass here, but it's all about the current.
Right, so regardless, Sally is there. She's going back to the farm. He finally made it to California. And the reason why I think this is because, number one, he's got a wedding ring on in the future when he's with your girl, Rebecca. what are you... Did you take your... You took it off.
It's okay.
That's not okay.
I was spray tanning myself.
It's fine. This ring never leaves my finger. Not once.
Yep.
Never not once.
Good for you.
But the reason why I think that he is actually going to do this is actually a story reason. A writing reason. And...
Is this like a long story? Should I just like sit back and get comfortable?
No. I'll break it down for you very easily. There is this theory about writing for the hero. It's called the hero's journey, right? Mm-hmm. And you think of Luke Skywalker, right? Luke Skywalker is the typical hero's journey character. He gets presented with a lifestyle. Then he is given a mentor. That mentor offers that person a choice. And he rejects that choice. Only for that something to ruin his life or reject his life. He comes back and he goes on this big trip. He finds out who he is and he comes back to the place that he was originally and he's a better person. The world has changed and he's the hero. That is Luke Skywalker when you think about it. That, in and of itself, I think will be Nikki's journey.
Ooh, I dig it.
Is Nikki the hero of our story? Maybe, but maybe not. It doesn't matter, but he
Do
will
you know
have
what your archetype is?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm sure we can figure it out.
We will. I love taking those quizzes.
But what I think, when I think of Nikki, it is following the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. Like he has rejected, even in this episode, he has his life and he rejects his life with Sally. And he goes and he's in his misery and something changes. And that thing that changes is the invitation. And the invitation makes him discover he is a better person. And who is his mentor in all of this? It could be a ghost Jack. Like, not ghost Jack, but just the memory of Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Jack's, that life, him bringing that suitcase, that's the reminder.
Yeah, I don't want a ghost.
Of Jack's mentoring him, saying, go, get the hell out of here. And he finally does. Maybe it's Cassidy. Cassidy is the wise mentor in all of this. When she says, stop rejecting these things, accept the love. And he finally does. And when he does, he finally gets to California. He comes back to where he's supposed to be. And what will change his life is Sally. And Sally will become the thing. And
see,
he will
that's
be...
why there's going to be no bad stuff happening this season. This Is Us writers. Please listen. Listen to our plea. We need happiness. Let everybody just get along well. We know Rebecca's going to die at some point, okay? Yes. Let's just hang out for a little bit. Let's get some inflatables with Miggy. Let's have a whole bunch of... What? What?
Sally is in the car.
Whose car?
The white car.
What white car?
When you remember in the last two episodes ago, whatever it was, and they had the flash forward.
Oh, and they said,
she's... "Hey, she's here. They're here. Sally's in the car."
Okay.
That's a hot take. That's a nuclear take.
Okay.
That's Chernobyl.
That would be happy. Okay.
It's just Chernobyl.
I don't want anything sad.
No. She's in the car. He's got the wedding ring. She's showing up. She's going to pick somebody. I don't know who it is. Whatever. Who cares? Stats are for nerds. Sally's in the car.
An astronaut.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Okay.
That's
I could dig it.
That is a Chernobyl take.
Okay.
I'm in.
Doesn't sound very uplifting.
No, it's just, it's so hot. It's nuclear.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I interrupted
That's okay.
you. What were you going to say?
I don't even remember anymore. You just like blew up.
I did. Oh!
Don't mess with the nerd, man.
Oh,
nerd!
That is a nerd joke to end all nerd jokes.
That's why you keep me around.
You know, we are just going to leave on that one, ladies and gents. Let's close this bad boy out. I got a surprise for you. So good. America is one of the most underrated bands. America is a great band. Just good folk music. You just listen to America, you just chill.
That's good.
Just feels good to listen to America.
I dig it. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in to this here episode of This Is Us 2. We hope that you enjoyed this most recent television episode as much as we did. It's like just classic This Is Us. Hashtag all the feels.
First five plus in a while, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, right?
First five. Give me some love.
And now that Nikki's here, I'm so happy. I'm so happy when there's like a curmudgeon-y man in my life who can just...
Two shots.
You know, it's... just, he says all the things we want to say, but you can't because you're not a curmudgeon-y old man.
Sure.
And now Nikki's here.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen to This Is Us 2 and being here with us and enjoying all the things that we do. It's this is a labor of love. This is something that we really appreciate. We get a chance to connect with you on a very personal level on this show and talking about all the things that we do and being upfront and about life and love and misery and happiness and all of it in between. It's a good feeling. So thank you so much for being a part of this with us. Go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great stuff that we have going on too, of all the other entertaining podcasts that we do and talk about, as well as the jointhenerdclan.com and of course the free and awesome Mary and Blake Facebook group. You don't want to miss out on that one either. Nerds just nerding out making Chernobyl jokes.
On that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And this is Us Too. Never give you up. Never know.